Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Friday the 23rd of October, people. We're hoping to steer football back onto sensible streets. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
And what better team to steer football back onto sensible street?
Yeah.
Jim and Luke.
I'm feeling sensible.
Yeah, you got your top button done.
Oh, yes.
Mate.
Absolutely.
And your tie on.
Are you two the two most sensible ones here in on the Ramble, do you think?
I don't know.
I think we're in trouble if we are.
Mark is quite sensible.
What are we like? Marcus is quite sensible, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe.
How can you tell? What is it, the glasses?
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. That's how I judge people, yeah. If I see someone with glasses, I go, oh, they're clever.
Ooh, yeah. They're good at maths.
That is actually the... That's what I do sometimes, you know, if I have to wear something really, really smart at work, I wear glasses to just really back up the chat.
I should really wear contacts more because I think people assume I'm a lot more intelligent than I am.
Yeah.
Just because of my glasses and reasonable vocabulary.
I don't assume that because I know you.
Well, quite, yeah.
Before we get into it, can I just do this? A great episode of On the Continent was recorded yesterday and is out now. The only place you need to go for European football chat. Dotton and Andy were joined by Nicky Bandini to discuss PSG's underwhelming performance against Manchester United in the Champions League, Zlatan leading Milan into a bold new era. Nicky is particularly excellent on that, as you'd expect. And the amazing story of Shakhtar Donetsk after they humbled Real Madrid this week. Search Football Ramble Presents wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode of On the Continent, as well as other exciting things like the book club with Kate and occasionally Jim, by the way, at the match where we went to Peckham Town most recently. It was brilliant. And our first Ramble meets with a big, big name is out next week, first one of the new season. So check that out. Football Ramble Presents, wherever you get your podcasts.
Certainly will. I could tell that Dotton had been in because the headphones that I'm using are on a much bigger setting than I tend to have them because of all his brains.
I remember when we used to have revisiting in the studio with the two Lauras, and Laura Kirk sit in my seat and she's got, I think, a very tiny head. And so when I put the headphones back on, I felt like I was going to break them, putting them back over my massive melon. So headphone chat.
That's because of all your brains as well, isn't it, Luke?
You'd think that, but that's bullshit.
That's the secret of intelligence, though, as we were just saying, is how long it takes to be found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
13 years and counting.
Yeah.
13 years. And you've not got to the bottom of this genius to my left.
Some would argue that we're found out every week. we just keep getting back on that horse.
And some do argue that. Sometimes in our mentions.
Yeah.
Oh, guys. Well, I think you're both very clever and good looking.
Thanks,
and
mate.
Charming.
Thanks.
As we monikered you earlier, Kate Disgracen. Jim,
didn't laugh that much last time.
She was fuming earlier.
Yeah, furious.
I'm not sure I heard it, to be honest. I think I was fuming about my my prolonged journey in. Yeah. Anyway, the less said about that, the better.
Late Mason.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
She's not dead. Okay, well, she's here. You know that.
The late Kate Mason. It's taken a turn already.
I thought that was the name of the new show.
Yeah, could be.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Let's get to some weekend football, shall we? The big question for me is, are we going to get the average goals per game below 3?
I hope not.
No, I would hope not as well. Yeah. I would hope not as well.
Good. I'm glad we're all in agreement on that. The thing about the goals per game, right, is that for years, people have been saying it couldn't be done in the Premier League. It couldn't go above 3 as an average for a season. And I still don't think it will, because football generally, unlike other sports where they basically, you know, like NBA, they've basically ramped up the number of scoring opportunities points that you can get over time. Football's been steadily against that for years and years and years. It didn't seem to make any difference. And then,
VAR's trying, isn't it?
Oh, bless them.
Individual atoms offside, chucking off goals. Can't stop that average
going
on.
9 pens.
Isn't that curious, though? Because you'd think, oh, yes, it's because of the penalty thing and because of the way that there's no fans in the stadium. But also, it's disallowing a lot of goals that wouldn't have otherwise been disallowed. So it should even out, you'd think. But interestingly, I think I'm right in saying, I haven't got it in front of me, but I think I read earlier this week that the goals per game in the Championship is actually going down.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And also, most American sports, if not all of them, the viewing figures are going down in quite a dramatic way in some cases.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting how you'd think, well, NBA is more exciting because more people are scoring points. Maybe people are just going, oh, whatever, another basket, fed up of it. You know, so you never know.
That is quite that seems to be the kind of American way with sport, doesn't it?
Last season, though, in the Premier League, 2.72 goals per match on average.
Was that the most, or was it the season before? Recently, anyway, it's been the most, and that has been a whole goal lower.
The season before was 2.82.
That was the one, wasn't it?
When
it
was getting there. Yeah. We're close already, is what I mean.
Yeah. Can it continue? Realistically, I mean, there is this kind of silly season sense at the moment, isn't there? And you do get periods of that every now and then where everyone's like, oh God, the Premier League's amazing at the moment. You tend to get a couple of bubbles like that a season, maybe. But all of these weird circumstances and the fact that the two teams that have been so dominant in the last couple of seasons suddenly look a bit shaky at the back, you know, might we be in for this absolute carnival this season? Do we need fans back? Are we the problem?
Oh, no. Oh,
are
Jim,
fans the problem?
Out.
Yeah.
I think we need less fans in the game.
Yeah.
Fewer. Right. Whatever it is. The interesting I find is that this kind of conversation is a much
the
more...
The interesting I find?
Is that what I said? Yeah. I thought I said the interesting thing I find. Did I not say that? The interesting I find...
Are you a dog?
Much football. I find much football, much wow, explains smallness and patat. Anyway, it's very difficult to know what you're going to get. And what I mean by that is...
unscripted drama, mate.
It is.
It's the Premier League. What can you expect?
But it didn't used to be. The point is they used to say it was unscripted drama, but it wasn't. And
watch the football. It's going to move.
Every 3 months, Burnley would get a 1-0 over someone.
Yeah.
And that was, anyone could beat anyone.
Yeah.
But now, you never know what you're going to get. Take Leicester, for example, who I'm sure we're going to talk about a bit later. They win well last night in the Europa League. A few weeks ago, they beat Man City in pretty good fashion, yet they turn in a couple of stinking results. You never know what you're going to get.
A couple of stinkers.
And the fan thing is fascinating because people have also been arguing that, you know, it's a truncated pre-season. It's fitness, which means it's causing concentration problems, which is causing errors. But to me, it feels like if you're a striker in the Premier League and you're through on goal away from home, is it easier now to score or harder? It's much easier.
Yeah.
But you haven't got anyone shouting, shoot! So how do you know what to do? You've just shoot!
You can probably hear your teammates better as well, actually shouting,
like,
shoot at you.
Some of them are nutters.
It depends who your teammates are.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, weirdly, given how early we are in the season, because of this truncated pre-season, a long summer, is there a chance that, you know, we're however many games in and the players are already a bit fatigued? So if you've got a slightly fatigued defence because they've not had a proper pre-season, of course they're going to leave.
Are you
goals.
Already fatigued?
There's too much. There's too much football. Absolutely I am.
Don't tell anyone.
Super European Premier Mega Leagues. Like,
that's our secret. Don't tell people that there's too much football. We're peddling the football.
That's true. Jim, you've lost a lot of weight and you're in much better shape than you've ever been. So how fatigued would you have been if you think you were fat, Jim, like a few years ago?
I would be like... physically grey. I'd just be like, you know, have you ever seen that, like those blobfish when they take them out of the sea and they go all floppy because that's not their environment because of the pressure. I'd just be like that.
And if
that
you want to see
like Phil Thompson,
if you want to see what that looks like, check out our social media because I'm being filmed right now. You see me. Anyway, Kate, their game this weekend.
The point to mention about the Manchester United against Chelsea Saturday 5:30 kickoff game is that Manchester United's goals per game ratio is actually over 5. So,
not all 4 though.
No,
yeah, sadly.
I'm very excited to see if Cavani starts because I think starts, he'll score because Chelsea's defence, being what it is, they'll go, ooh.
Clean sheet, mate. Clean sheet in the Champions League.
Not seen him before. Don't know what to do.
Back in your box.
Do you remember that used to be the case back in the day where one of the best things about watching the World Cup was you'd know nothing about a lot of the other players? Mm. And it's a bit of a shame now that everyone knows everyone.
And those players would. They would make names for themselves out of the World Cup. I suppose James Rodriguez was a bit of that. He was already known. But
partly the grasshopper, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, the grasshoppers saved him now. I wonder if they still hang out.
Yeah, but I reckon they do.
Yeah.
I don't think Cavani will start because I think, Kate.
It probably is dead, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's like when you see a dog in an old movie, isn't it? You go,
like that octopus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one who, you know, knew about all the scores.
Have you seen, speaking of dogs in movies, you know Toto in The Wizard of Oz?
Definitely
of course.
Dead.
Oh, yeah. Made in the 30s.
Guys, everyone's dead in The Wizard of Oz.
But there's a famous synopsis of that film, which I shared on my Instagram the other day, where I guess someone who's writing the TV, have you seen it? He's writing the film listings for a magazine or whatever, he's just got bored. And the synopsis for The Wizard of Oz, right, is a girl is transported to a fantasy land where she kills the first person she meets and then teams up with 3 more friends to kill again. Anyway,
that is lovely. Yeah,
I don't think Cavani will start the game because I think he's got problems with match fitness, I believe. So he might appear on from the bench, maybe.
Yeah, of course. And the thing about Cavani as well is that I really hope that he does have a chance to do well at United because I feel as though he has been a bit of a. It's probably been overlooked how much of a servant he was for PSG because every time he nearly got the chance to be the kind of out-and-out striker, someone else would turn up, including, but not limited to, Neymar.
Yes.
And he would then still manage to score loads of goals, but kind of playing out of position. So it'd be quite cool if he could turn up and do a job for United.
Absolutely. I think even with Uruguay as well, you know, it was him and Suarez, wasn't it? Mm. So he's never really been seen as like the main man. But obviously people are making comparisons to Zlatan Ibrahimovic because he's joining from PSG and he's joining from quite late. Mm. But I mean, it's not necessarily going to go that way, but I hope he does well. I like it when a player like this comes to the Premier League because it's like the league has got a new toy. You know, it's like
same.
You thought it might be that we've missed the opportunity to see Cavani in England, but we're going to get him now. And there is this phenomenon seemingly where players, strikers in particular, are just good for longer now. Maybe it's nutrition, maybe it's just like modern fitness regimes.
He's an amazing Nick. He's always looked after himself. He works his nuts off. Regular listeners to On the Continent will know that Andy Brassel waged a one-man campaign for years to get him to Atletico Madrid because he thinks he'd fit in very
How's
well.
How's that going, campaign?
He's at Man United now.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Edison, not Andy. but I will stick my neck out here and say, if a man of Edison Cavani's quality and experience cannot score in this absolute Farmers League this season, then he has done the biggest talent blag in history. He will score goals. He will find it easy to score goals, even though he hasn't got the best Man United team around him, because no one can defend. And he should be chomping at the bit to play this weekend, because of all the teams that can't defend, Chelsea are certainly up there.
How do people not learn on the Football Ramble? Did you not listen to the show the other day when Marcus and Jim were previewing...
Kate, it was 0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Yeah,
we met this game.
Screams goals.
We met
this
game.
Screams goals.
I was sitting back thinking, yeah, they're still doing that, are they?
So yeah, I look forward to Manchester United 0, Chelsea 0.
I was reading earlier that I think it will probably be quite a good thing there won't be fans in the stadium because fans who would turn up in anticipation at Old Trafford to see Edison Cavani might well be greeted with the fact that Daniel James might start instead, which is a different proposition.
Very,
shall we
very
say.
Different.
Don't want to be mean to Daniel James.
That was quite mean
because he can run very fast, and I
important.
Find that impressive. Mm. But he's no Edison Cavani.
Yeah, the Manchester United results were released earlier this week.
The financial ones.
Finance.
Is that what
fans?
They call them now? They just call them the real results, yeah. AKA the real quiz. Here's our results.
Top of delight again. Mm.
The football scores are as follows. They lost 70 million down in terms of profit, so they're not very happy, but obviously it's all related to COVID. The point they were making at the time, and they were sort of wouldn't be drawn about this European Super League and all that sort of stuff, although they did say that their main, Edward Wood, of course, speaks to the investors, and he said, you know, their main aim is to support lower leagues of football, which I'm not sure it's their main aim.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing.
I doubt that's first on the agenda.
That is a brass neck.
Yeah.
That wasn't a direct quote, can I just clarify?
Right, okay.
But the point being also that they mentioned their brilliant strategic decision not to sign, effectively, their brilliant strategic decision not to sign Jadon Sancho has meant.
That's like saying, it's like Alan Partridge says, the best thing I ever did was get kicked out by my wife.
Yeah.
I don't think it was that, quite like that.
Was it? They're not, you know.
Not as, playing 4D chess.
They haven't lost as much money as they could have done. Unlike old Chelsea, who've been signing players left, right and centre. So, you know, the haves and have-nots is the subtitle to this game on Saturday. Yeah.
Very much the haves and haves.
Yeah, the haves and haves.
I find the Chelsea situation quite curious as well, because although they have been given a perhaps below par reputation, chiefly by me, they haven't actually lost a game for a while. Since they lost at home to Liverpool a month or so ago. Yeah. So,
which is reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
To lose to Liverpool? Well, yeah. I don't know. Did you see what happened in that Villa game? Jesus. Yeah.
No, but I meant the results since have been reasonable. I guess the circumstances around them, like the conceding late goals quite a lot and just conceding goals generally.
And your vendetta against Kepa, obviously.
I think he's... I mean, Kepa,
don't start on Kepa. Again.
Well, why'd you bring him up then?
Yeah, because I know you're going to go in for him, so I was trying to circumvent it.
That's on him, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
was going to say, he's the one person I've ever remembered that has waged a vendetta on himself.
But that is quite a goalkeeper thing, isn't it?
Mendy started against Sevilla and they kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
they'd
scored 10 goals in the three Premier League games before this, Chelsea. So, Havertz and Werner look to have clicked immediately for Chelsea, pretty much. And I don't know, this is going to be a good one, I think. It's going to be tasty.
I think also Tuan Zebi, who impressed in midweek in his first start for a decent while, he could be in a situation where he can take advantage of the difficulty that Man United have had at centre-back and say, do you know what, this is an opportunity for me. Because if you're a young player coming through at Manchester United, you know, plenty of players have come through and not had a chance at all because they've come along at a time when there's better players in the position as them. Manchester United were a successful team. Tuan Zebi, who's now 22, spent some time out on loan, built experience up, looked very good, didn't look out of his depth at all against PSG, who weren't great but got to the Champions League final last season, are a very good team. Could he take advantage of that situation? He's now got an opportunity in front of him and it's up to him to try and grasp it.
Yeah.
And if he starts again on Saturday tea time, maybe he could be just, you know, a piece of a jigsaw that could make him a better pitcher, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. Especially having had that loan with Villa that you had for a while, like his age profile and the opportunity in front of him now, this is a good chance to get into the first team and stay in it, you know. Mm. And that's exactly what Solskjaer will be wanting from those players. So, yeah, it's good to keep an eye on him in this game, I think.
United then without Bailly and Maguire. Frank Lampard says that Mendy is his number one. Mm. I mean, generally specifically, I guess.
A blind man could tell you that.
Yeah.
You meanie. Mm. Just you wait till Kepa gets his confidence back.
I hope he does.
Come after you.
Yeah. I hope he does. I'll happily applaud it.
I think he will. But I can't imagine it being at Chelsea, though. He's going to have to move, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I know we've mentioned this before and probably recently, but it's just like the contrast between him refusing to come off Smokey Morris tried to substitute him for Chelsea to now is absolutely unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah. It's not even that long ago.
No, it isn't.
Let's crack on with another big one on Saturday. Liverpool against Sheffield United. That's the 8 o'clock kickoff. Now, Liverpool actually have had, as we know, some pretty dodgy results. A draw, a loss and a draw in their last three in the Premier League, that is. But Sheffield United, bloody hell. What's happened to the glory days of last season? I know Chris Wilder has come out and said, look, this is not a big deal. What have they had? They've had four losses and then a draw. The draw against Titans of the Premier League, Fulham. Mm. They're 19th in this table. Again, I don't really agree with tables at this stage of the season, but
you have to have them.
They exist.
Yeah.
It exists.
Yeah.
It's not really.
Otherwise, you get to December and like, where are we with it?
I actually think you shouldn't be allowed to look at the table until December.
No, but it should exist.
So,
And maybe it should be. Maybe it should exist, but like it's not published anywhere. Yeah. But you have to work it out yourself.
But now you're getting into
you got to earn it.
Now you're getting into like interpretations of quantum physics now, because some interpretations of quantum physics say that things don't actually exist unless it's something to observe them.
Yes.
So if you could keep the Premier League table in like a Schrodinger's cat type scenario until maybe Christmas Day, maybe Boxing Day has a little treat, and then you reveal it.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think that would be just. However, it does exist currently, and currently in it, pointless though it may be, Sheffield United are 19th.
Yeah. But, I mean, at first glance, you would think that's not a great start for them, and it isn't. And Chris Wilder has talked about them having perhaps a little bit of anxiety in front of goal because, I mean, maybe that's because the games are starting to stack up in which they're not scoring. But I think we should remember they didn't score that many last season and they still did well. I mean, the highest position in over 40 years. They were 39 goals for and 39 against last season. So around the goal a game. And they've conceded 7 goals so far this season. They shared the goals around last season as well. I don't think anyone scored more than 6 in all competitions. Mm. They brought Ryan Brewster in, who I don't care really what anyone says. That's a bit of a gamble. I mean, he cost a decent amount of money. He's only scored 11 senior goals in his entire career, I believe. And if that's going to upset the balance of them sharing the goals around, then it could be a problem for them. But I think it's a little bit early to be worrying about them just yet. And another positive for them actually as well is they appear to have navigated the goalkeeping situation quite well. Aaron Rams has been playing well. He's made some good saves against Fulham. And that was a key position for them after what happened with Dean Henderson. So I think I would stop myself waxing lyrical about how much in trouble they are at the moment.
Yeah.
But
I think save it. Keep it in the locker.
But you'd rather have points than not have them at this stage, right? And so there is also an element that other teams might be getting used to how they play, because they play in quite an interesting way. And they've got some difficult games coming up, because after Anfield, they've got Manchester City at home and then Chelsea away. So, yeah, we'll know more about them in a few weeks' time, but I think it's a bit early yet.
Do you think as well, though, that they are one of the teams that's, as we were talking about Burnley on the show the other day, they struggle without a crowd, because they are a team that are going to be sort of, in most games, they're going to be on paper and in theory, and certainly in the minds of their fans, kind of the underdogs. And you really, really need people to be geeing you up and cheering you on in a situation like that. And they've desperately, desperately got to get a win. They probably won't get it here against Liverpool. But like, I feel without that extra support, maybe it's harder to sort of raise yourself and focus and just be so committed. Because that's what got them through last season, wasn't it? That was what made them so tough to beat. And when you're tough to beat, it's a platform to build on. If you start winning, you get into that habit and you start to really, really believe in yourself. But that we haven't seen any of that this season from them.
I think Luke's point is a good one about the way that Sheffield United play as well, because obviously relentless discussion of their flying wing-backs and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But let's not also forget before we dig them. We're not really digging them out. No. Actually, we're being broadly quite supportive, but they have got a hell of a lot of injuries at the moment, including most recently John Fleck. Chris Wilder said it was some very specific damage to a small part of his back that was very unlucky. Lise Moussa has got a toe problem. He hasn't played this season. He's a source of goals, although, as you say, they share them around. some goal.
he's your archetypal streaky player, isn't he?
I think if a goal went past his house, he looked out the window, he'd recognise it, wouldn't he? Absolutely. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think.
But he can't
score
them if he's not playing, Luke. Is my point.
No,
and sometimes when he is playing.
Jack O'Connell is out for the rest of the season. He's got to have knee surgery. Max Lowe got concussion in their last game at the weekend, that Fulham draw. So I don't know how long that keeps him out, but he apparently had blurred vision and all that sort of stuff, so he needs to be looked after.
There'll be a protocol involved, I expect. Going back to the crowd point that Jim was saying, he makes a really interesting point, because I think it is multifaceted, this idea of no crowds at stadiums. And when I talked about a player going through on goal and perhaps finding it a little bit less of a pressure situation because there's no crowd, particularly away from home, you're absolutely right with your Sheffield United point, Jim. And I think you've seen it down at Portsmouth as well. Like, it's a big part of the situation at Fratton Park, of course. And, you know, another example I would use, which makes it more interesting, I think, is the Spurs-West Ham game. So Spurs go 3-0 up in an absolute cruise, and we all know what happened. You would wonder if that would actually be possible without a crowd kind of getting on top of Spurs, the away fans being quite vociferous, and it becoming a bit of a cauldron. And you get into that situation, don't you, as football fans, and everyone listening will recognise what I'm saying here, where something's going to happen, you know it's going to happen, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But that still seemed to happen with no crowd.
Yeah.
So it's a multifaceted issue that we've not ever had to deal with before, and it seems to be manifesting itself in a number of different ways.
Completely. I mean, a crowd being in front of you makes a huge, huge difference to just to your focus on things. I mean, you and I have done many live shows together, Luke. Like, you know how a crowd is going. You know if, like, things are sort of going...
Mostly,
you know,
badly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of jeering, a lot of booing.
Some of my jokes
don't
even
their money back.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah.
sort of thing. And
I can't
it does,
believe that, mate.
There is, you ride that crest of adrenaline. And it's not a choice. You simply do. And there's no way that doesn't affect footballers in the same way as well. So if that almost like radar isn't there of how the atmosphere of a game is going, then you are going to switch off a bit more. Maybe you are less focused and less intense because you don't have a natural indicator around you of what the tone of the situation is. And then maybe you switch off and maybe you concede 3 goals in 7 minutes or whatever it was.
Although against that, I'm a bit loath to be making these general... I mean, fun though it is to make broad generalisations constantly. Like, obviously, the crowd impact is going to be different depending on what kind of a player you are. And being able to read how the game is going, you obviously have a feeling inside you of how the game is going. And there's 22 individuals.
There's 12. It's just only ever 12.
That's the maths I can do really well.
It's not even maths, it's just a number.
I took 11 and I added one. I don't really know why. But anyway, there's 22 individuals all experiencing the game in their own way, I guess. And sometimes it's helpful not to have a read of how the game is going because sometimes it's going shitly. Yeah. Right.
Can I just make a very quick point about Liverpool just to say that they've got some really difficult games coming up. And since around February time... they've not really looked like the Liverpool that we got used to rating. I know it sounds mad because they won the league, but the lack of intensity in their play occasionally has been very, very worrying, I think. Mm. And one thing Sheffield United are is pretty intense. So it'll be a good match of styles to see how they can cope with it. They were the better team, in my view, against Everton. But that didn't work out for them either, and they've got a big loss in the shape of Van Dijk too. So look, that's an interesting game for a Saturday night, particularly when you take into account that Alisson won't be there again. It'll be and I think there's talk that Thiago might be doubtful as well. So yeah, lots to take into account.
I think as well the danger for Sheffield United is that Liverpool are angry, aren't they? They're quite openly angry.
I know they've got it in them to be angry about it though.
You not think?
I think they are angry about Van Dijk, and I think they need to channel that.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've won the league now, and it's such a release of emotion after so long.
They're just chilling.
It might be harming
them. Bunch of chillers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Thiago injury was off the Richarlison red card challenge, wasn't it?
Is that right?
That's what I thought.
It might well be. I don't know. I haven't looked into the detail, but he's listed as doubtful. Yeah. And he didn't play against Ajax, did he? So.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, they've got a couple of injury problems, but hey, I think in the kind of all things being equal, I feel like Sheffield United can feel more injured. If it's that competition that we're having. All right, guys, we will be bringing you more preview chatter after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Always believe in your soul.
I said, no, you're getting up there.
You got the power to know. Indestructible. Always believe in Carlton Cole.
Carlton Cole there with the soon-to-be Christmas number one.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about. Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway. Thanks for sending all your emails in. Do I mean that? Yeah, thanks for the player combinations. Let's get to them, shall we?
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
I can't stop hearing my kids now after what they were talking about yesterday.
I don't hear it at all, actually. It's
really?
Like, it's that duck rabbit thing.
Misheard lyrics.
I think it's a deliberate nod to his secret family. In yeah,
but then it's not. But the thing is, he's talking about them reading out emails on this show, so they're not going to be secret very long, much longer if they come in here and read emails out, are they?
You know as well as I do that he's a complicated man,
that
so
is
it
true.
Could mean anything.
That is true.
Some people have been in touch on Twitter. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do we need a separate Twitter jingle?
I hope not, because it's going to take all day, isn't
it'll
it?
It'll take 6 months to come.
That?
It'll cost a load of money, and it'll be really long. So be careful what you wish for.
So this is from Charlie Davis, who may or may not be a man I went to school with. I should point out he's a man. And now it was a boy at the time. It says simply, Basuma Lalana, what a wonderful phrase. It's hard to disagree with that, isn't it?
Means it Brighton fans might agree, it means no worries for the rest of your midfield.
Yeah, the rest of your season. Yeah. Mark Stiles has also been in touch, and he says, I seemingly remember a great bit of commentary when Ben Foster made a save from a Diego Costa header from an Oscar cross that just went, Oscar to Costa, Foster! Excellent.
Very good. A lot of the other ones that we had sent
quite
in
naughty.
About this, we couldn't read them.
Quite
we
naughty.
Literally yeah. couldn't read them, so... Yeah. Think about it before you send them in, because you're quite literally wasting your time and then our time. Think about what is acceptable to put out on a podcast and what isn't. That'd be my advice.
It would be hard for people to judge, though, based on some of the things that we sometimes say.
True. Yeah, that is true. We're not really the moral arbiters of it, are we?
I would wager. They might. It's nice that people feel like it's kind of a free-for-all.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, they definitely think that about the Ramble. God knows why.
There's also been an email coming from Fraser from Glasgow. Thank you, Fraser. Let's get on to this subject, I have to say, which I think we tweeted it out, the world's most extraordinary girl in the Europa League last night. Morning, Ramblers, says Fraser. Can we have a mention for the longest range goal ever scored in the Europa League? It was a throwback to the waterlogged pitches we've all played on as the heavens opened in the game between Rangers and Standard Liège. If the icing on the cake was Standard Liège's first defeat at home in Europe in 6 years, then the cherry on top of the icing on top of that soaking wet cake was Kemar Roof celebrating with the Anderlecht A sign in front of the Standard Liège fans and sparking a scrap at full time. Say what you like, but we all love to see it. Good day, I said. Good day. Now, there is some debate about whether that actually is what he was doing, because apparently, I've just read this and heard this, it's also his kids' initials.
A lot of players do that, do the A sign.
Yeah.
It's been around for years.
But it was an L as well.
Oh, was it? Okay.
So I don't know. But anyway,
does he think Anderlecht is two words? That'd be amazing if he does after he's playing for them. Oh, that's brilliant. You think they're called Anderlecht?
But yeah, can we just wax lyrical over the goal a little bit? Because bloody hell. That pitch...
Yeah.
Grim.
if you've not seen this goal, check it out immediately. It is absolutely brilliant. I mean, in terms of goals from behind or around the halfway line, you have to say this is up there with any of them, because he like beats three men.
Yeah.
To beat three men and score from any part of the pitch is amazing. But from the halfway line, absolutely staggering. Just brilliant. The execution of it was superb as well. And like that, you love to see it. It's the archetypal, you love to see it.
To the everyday man or woman on the street, actually kicking the ball that far is quite hard.
It's really hard. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you've got a spare 5 minutes this weekend, take yourself to an unused football pitch.
Was it 56 yards?
Well, by the way, most of the amateur pitches will be smaller anyway.
Yeah, but I just mean for this to imitate.
Oh, is that what it was? 56 yards. Yeah. Try and kick the ball 56 yards. See how you get on. Email in. Let us know. Send the video. I don't know.
Yeah. And the goalkeeper, Stanley Edge goalkeeper, did you see? He was like standing way out of his area, and that's why he kind of scampered back and couldn't get to it. Sorry, I'm just imitating it.
That's all right. It's very animated.
And we're away from the mic. And so then the minute it goes in, he sat down on the floor and like stretched out. Like, oh, I've got cramp.
Oh, really?
Would have saved it.
Disgraceful. The regular listeners will know about Big Pav, the ramble, legendary ramble keeper and the world's most famous non-league goalkeeper. He calls anyone lobbying a goalkeeper, in quotes, the ultimate disrespect.
Yeah.
It'll be the ultimate disrespect. So if he watched that last night, which I'm sure he did, he will say, that is the ultimate disrespect. Do that from that kind of distance.
I sometimes wonder if Big Pav is a product of your fevered imagination.
No, Pav is very real. Yeah. Unless we're all imagining him like we are.
And you are playing with fire saying that. Because if your path should ever cross. This is a man who prides himself on being the loudest part of any room he's ever been in. That's what he says. That's his like claim to fame.
And that's Luke Moore saying.
That's the one from me. Yeah.
Get him on. Yeah. Get him on the bloody ramble.
No, it's dangerous.
Don't even need a mic.
Just even a show.
I think we should do it as a choir next time.
Mm. Now you're talking. That'd
be nicer.
But maybe we just chip in with our own names. Yeah. Like Band-Aid.
Yes.
Live Aid.
It was both, wasn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, email show at footballramble.com, please. We love to hear from you, especially on the subject of beautiful goals scored from ludicrous places. Mm. Also in the Europa League last night, Leicester and Arsenal were playing independently, but they will be playing each other on Sunday in the classic 7:15 kickoff. I really enjoy that, actually, as a function of the way all of these games are at random times.
Yeah,
I hope they start introducing a sort of, 11:32.
When you think about it, why is it a 0 or a 5? That seems quite arbitrary.
No, it's true. Well, time is arbitrary, Luke.
Yeah, true. And it waits for no man or woman, Kate.
Quite. Let's get on with this. Leicester won 3-0 against Zaria Luhansk. Ukraine's Zaria Luhansk. Actually, first goal was against the run of play and pretty crappy, but nice for James Maddison to get his first European goal. He sort of bumbled it around and finally into the goal, thanks to bit of hold-up play from his teammates.
Sort of stabbed it in, didn't he?
Like was it just a stab? Like it's got a bit of impetus to it. It was more just like a scuff. Like
it's more like, it's like if you could give a football a dead leg. That's sort of what he did to it.
Who was it the guys were talking about yesterday? Is it a dead leg for about 6 months?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah.
Sadio Mane, I think.
Not
ideal.
Not 6 months. A week or something.
Yeah, we need a medical consultant.
Anything longer than about 10 minutes is a lot.
I've had a proper dead leg. When they say dead leg, it's not like when you're walking home from school and someone gives you a dead arm.
Sorry. Yeah. But
I've had a proper dead leg. No, don't do it.
Oh, sorry, COVID.
You've got rings on and it's COVID. When I played football once, I properly got a dead leg, and it was genuinely quite difficult to walk.
Right.
And it does last for a wee while. So him, as the guys were saying, he'd wrapping it with ice. But for him playing with that, it's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're talking about.
I think we need a whole episode on that, frankly, because I'm absolutely baffled.
Well, James Maddison's been out of action for quite a while with a quite serious Chinese burn, hasn't he? So it's good for him to get back.
Can you still call it a Chinese burn?
Probably not. Almost certainly not.
No. Oh,
but I don't know what you say instead.
I want to talk about Arsenal, though, because
let's talk about them. They were crap last night.
I thought they were actually quite poor.
Yeah, they were very just pedestrian and a bit flat. And I think that has sometimes been a little bit of a product of what Mikel Arteta's doing. The phrase trust in the process keeps going around. I think he's concentrating on making Arsenal a bit more disciplined and a bit harder to beat. And unfortunately, in the short term, that means they're not always that good to watch. But, he's got to get rid of that headless chicken thing that Arsenal have had. So, in the midfield and the defence for a long time, where suddenly they just Arsenal something and it all becomes chaotic and rubbish. And if the payoff for that is, in the short term at least, Arsenal are a bit drab and a bit boring and a bit George Graham to watch even, I'll take that.
So just to let the guys know, just in case you weren't following very, very closely the Europa League action last night, it was a 2-1 win for Arsenal in Vienna against Rapid Vienna. They travelled, obviously, to that game. One of the many, could we say, cock-ups that you're probably glancing at is, well, David Luiz and... Leno. Emi Martinez's replacement, we could call him.
Leno had a very strange
odd game.
He did. I think the thing with, obviously...
He kicked him in the face, basically, sorry. Or like he kicked the ball at David Luiz's head.
It was a bit, that was a bit mad. I think with the first goal, or with the goal Arsenal conceded from a Leno mistake, I would
also
go,
a David Luiz mistake.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was like a choppy back pass into him.
Well, that exact kind of vortex of chaos that I was talking about Arsenal trying to get rid of obviously was in evidence there. But a thing we've seen a lot of coaches say when this sort of thing happens, because Edison had a little moment against Porto, didn't he? And we're seeing it more and more often. It is just a facet of what happens when you play out from the back in that way. And we've seen managers say, look, sometimes it looks really chaotic and it looks a bit calamitous and clownish and it looks like the team don't know what they're doing. But actually, the numbers seem to bear out that if you play like that, you are going to concede the odd stupid goal. But more often than not, you actually use possession a lot better and you will end up conceding less because of it. So I'm not that worried about that first mistake from Leno. Weirdly, I'm kind of less worried about the mistake that led to the goal than the one that nearly led to the goal, because that's just poor communication between Leno and Luiz, who should know each other by now.
But I guess they were just not... It seemed like such a non-trust moment. Like, because it looked as though Luiz, if we trusted him, had that under control, but Leno's like charging out to try and get a hold of it, and as a result
I think Luiz changes his mind a lot, like halfway through things.
Well, I mean, whether he wants to be a footballer or not.
Yeah
I want to do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no,
can we not do this now, David?
It's like when Sol Campbell left the game at West Ham.
I'm going to be a butcher.
Yeah, well, the next day he was saying he wanted to become an actor, as I remember it. But
you were acting like a football player. Not a very good one. I think you're right about that back part, that passing out from the back thing. I think you're absolutely right that the top man just see it as a cost of doing business. Mm. And I think it might have been Pep Guardiola, it might have been someone else, but it was a really interesting point at the time. And at the time it was said, it was quite a revolutionary point in terms of people's thinking, particularly how they cover the game in this country, was that if we've got a goal kick, that's our possession. So why are we going to kick it long and give ourselves a 50-50 chance of winning the ball when we can pass it short with essentially a near 100% chance of having the ball and be in possession? Yeah. And then obviously the challenge is to move the ball up the pitch. They absolutely just see it as a cost of doing business. And loads of people who cover football in this country just don't see that. They just say, oh, just lump it. I made a point with Pickford a while back saying that, you know, yes, teams are instructed to pass out from the back, and yes, it's an inimitable part of their style, but it doesn't mean you don't kick the ball long when you're under serious pressure and the other option is to give away a goal.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you are abandoning your style in that 1 second of decision making. So there is a balance.
The game
hasn't gone. No, there's a balance to be struck, isn't there? But again, I find this game very, very difficult to predict, because Arteta is currently in the middle of changing the culture of a football club, as we've talked about, and Leicester are very unpredictable.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And you know, Leicester are can be such a torrent going forward. But obviously, Jamie Vardy not being present is a huge boon for us. But then, you know, they play very, very well in the Europa League, and they've got goals in them, clearly. So I don't really know how to call this one. I think this is one of the sterner tests that Arsenal have faced so far this season. And I wonder if they will actually try and just kind of clog up the game a little bit and try and make it difficult for Leicester to play.
Yeah, I think they will be better, or let's see. But I think they probably will be better than in that Europa League game. We should mention David Luiz did, of course, score the equaliser, sticking his head on a lovely
free. I don't know what that keeper was doing either, by the way.
It's a towering Anthony Martial at the wrong end style header, wasn't
it? People have given up. But a lovely free kick from Nicola Pepe for that. And then the winner, a good couple of substitutions from Mikel Arteta. Aubameyang comes on, uses his pace to get in space in the box, smacks it home off the other 61st minute sub, Hector Bellerin. Thomas Partey also made his full debut. Okay, so Rapid Vienna, shall I mention? They're currently second in the Austrian league. league with 3 wins so far. So a decent little outfit. Lask, who were beaten by Tottenham in fifth with just the 2 wins, 3-0 there. Gareth Bale started. I know that's not in the running order. in the other half of the group as well, Dundalk went up, 1-0 up against Mulder.
They lost though.
They did.
What
lose.
A great story to see them in the group stage now.
Oh, it's lovely. Yes, great. It is lovely, lovely stuff. Right. That's it for those little golden nuggets.
Is that what they are?
You'll decide.
It's now time for Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Okay, the 4 games this week. We start with Southampton v Everton, which is Sunday at 2 o'clock, and it's Marcus Speller's pick.
Hi, girls. I am going to pick for my 4 to score for the Southampton-Everton game on Sunday, Danny Ings. You all thought I was going to choose an Evertonian, but no, I'm going to choose old Dingsy to score the opening goal in that match. Have a lovely weekend and listen to the old man.
He's a charmer, isn't he?
I feel seen.
He's a charmer.
Just me.
Danny,
he's addressing.
Danny Ings is his choice. Game 2 is Wolves v Newcastle Sunday at 4:30. It's my pick. I am contractually obliged to pick Raul Jimenez because if I don't, he will score the first goal. Yeah. Okay, you have got Arsenal v Leicester.
It's a good way of making sure he doesn't score, isn't it, Luke? Nice one. Yes, I think off the back of watching those couple of games last night, I normally pick Aubameyang if I get Arsenal, but I'm going to go with Harvey Barnes.
Nice.
For this one. He played so well. I think he deserves to get some product, some end product off it.
Good, okay, Harvey Barnes. By the way, Jeremy Vardy may well play in this game. I know you said I think he's listed as doubtful, but he has got a chance. But anyway, Harvey Barnes is your pick.
Oh,
Jim,
bollocks.
The last game of the week is Burnley v Spurs on Monday night. Who have you gone for?
I have gone for Son Heung-min because he just cannot seem to stop scoring, can he? And he and Kane have been just sort of devastating up front together. And I think it's going to be probably one of those two. But I think Son's pace will be explosive, as it normally is. So, yeah, I think Son Heung-min.
An outstanding pick by an outstanding man of an outstanding player. Danny Ings, Raul Jimenez, Harvey Barnes, Son Heung-min are our 4 picks for Betbase 4 to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. That is Betbase 4 to score. All right, now it's time for this. One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. Yeah, it's Luke's game.
Can we celebrate my win in 4 to score, please, just briefly?
Did you have a winner last week?
Yes.
Who was it?
And we just totally, like, under the radar.
I forgot about it.
Bloody Heung-min Son. That's why Jim Campbell has nicked my pick.
We're now officially
stolen my...
With a different game.
We're now officially in the Luke's game section, so you're overruled.
Okay.
it is time for Luke's game, and I'm delighted for everyone listening to let you know that we've got the lineal champion back in the studio.
Yes!
And it's not Jim Campbell, it's Kate Mason.
Yeah.
It's late disgracin. It's back in the chair. And Jim, you've got a chance, if you've got fire in your belly and your head in the freezer, you've got a chance of taking this lineal title from Mace. How do you feel?
I've got coffee in my belly and my head in the oven.
Take it out of the oven, Jim. That's not going to work.
Get your head out of the oven, Jim. It's not the place for it. First player up. It's best of 5. I give you a player. You auction for how many teams they've played for. You can name. Jim is the challenger. So the customer.
So he goes first.
Jim does go first.
Cool.
He's played for 10 clubs, this first player.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to tell me how many you can name. It's Emmanuel Adebayor.
Emmanuel Adebayor.
I see what you did there. That's fun.
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, shut up, Kate. Mind games. Jim is traditionally a very defensive player. For those who don't know the game very well, Jim has got a good track record in this game, but he plays very defensively usually. When he used to go up against Marcus in the past, Marcus would normally be super aggressive, Jim would be defensive. And it kind of worked for you, Jim, didn't it? Your defensive tactic.
Because you haven't played much this season, have you?
He hasn't.
No.
What are you going to go for your opening bid?
Does it matter?
I think I'm going to go for 6.
Six.
He's played for a lot of clubs, hasn't he, Adebayor?
Yes, he's played for 10, as you've
played
heard.
Played for 10, well, quite.
So you're going to go 6?
Yes.
Can you go 7?
Why would I go 7? No, go for it.
All right, Jim.
Okay.
So one at a time, please. I'm actually going to bring this out for the first time in a while.
I don't think you have the facilities for that.
Because that is a very bold opening bid. All right.
He's got his laptop open, I should point out, actually.
Yeah, so have you, Kate.
Yeah, but I've got to read the running order.
One player at a time, please, Jim. Six that Emmanuel Adebayor's played for.
Monaco.
Oh, cocky.
Correct.
Arsenal, of course.
Correct.
Spurs.
Correct.
Manchester City.
That's also correct. That's four.
Real Madrid.
That's five.
Now, this is the one I'm a little bit...
And you should be, mate, because I don't think you've got it.
Yeah, of course you don't.
This isn't a very defensive start.
For Crystal Palace.
He's done it. That's six. That is 1-0 to Jim Campbell. Well played, Jim.
So there's that is a big start.
I wasn't sure who the Turkish team was. I was thinking, was it Trabzonspor
or Fenerbahce?
He's played for a couple of Turkish teams. I'll run through his career in order. He started at Metz. Went to Monaco, Arsenal, Man City, Real Madrid on loan, Spurs, Crystal Palace, Istanbul, Başakşehir, Kayserispor, he also played for, and he played for Olympia.
Shanghai?
Olympia, oh. I think they might be in Greece, but I'm not entirely sure.
Glad I went for Palace.
Next up, second player, it's 1-0 to Jim. Good to opening start. This next player's played for eight clubs, and it's Kate first. He's currently still playing. It's Phil Bardsley.
Eight clubs.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? It's a crazy number. Like, some of these players, when they come up in the algorithm, you think, oh, I play for three. Eight he's played for.
When did you devise that algorithm, first of all?
It doesn't matter. Not important.
I didn't know you were so good at computer science.
Your weekly reminder, Kate Mason, that a quick game is a good game. Eight clubs for Phil Bardsley, please. Jim, what are you thinking on this one? Tough one, easy one?
This is a tough one, yeah.
Yeah?
Because there's a lot of grey areas. Clubs you think he might have played for.
Famously punched Wayne Rooney in the face.
Yeah. Did he knock him out? It certainly looked like he did from the video,
didn't it? And then Wayne Rooney did a celebration mocking that situation, didn't he? Do you remember?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, did a little kind of punch, punch, punch and then fell over. It's actually a very good celebration.
Well choreographed.
I think I've only got like three.
Three. Okay, Jim, can you go four? Kate's bid three. Can I see four from you? Exciting, this. 1-0 up. Chance to be the living.
Look at his face. Why is he doing such like a serious, knowledgeable face? It's very, actually very...
Because
he sniffs an opportunity.
Yeah.
Oh, he looks like he's like one of those bloodhounds.
I'm gonna make Mason go for it.
Three. Yeah. Just three for you, please, Kate. One at a time. The three clubs, three of the eight clubs that the great Phil Bardsley's played for. Great servant, by the way. Great player.
I've only really got two.
Well, go two then.
All right.
Do your two to start with.
Burnley.
Yeah, Burnley now, of course, yeah.
Sheffield United.
Yes. Random shout by you there. Correct, though.
Oh, God. What is wrong with me?
But almost certainly you've got Sheffield United because he must have played in some kind of League Cup fixture against Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a good guess. One more to go.
Shit. My head is in the bin.
It's not the right place for it. I'm going to have to hurry now. I'm going to call you wrong. I'm going to call you out.
I've drawn a complete blank. Bossy. Bostonly.
as they're known when people play against them.
Yeah, I'll just have to...
Go on.
City?
Man City. Incorrect. Started at Manchester United, so you were close.
Fuck. That's how we know Rooney, isn't it?
Yeah. Fuck!
2-0 to Jim Campbell.
Man United's flying up the swear table.
Yeah, she is. She is, actually. She's quite at the bottom of that. Yeah. And those who know her would see that as absolute nonsense. Manchester United's restarted. Royal Antwerp, Burnley, Rangers, Aston Villa, Sheffield United.
Bloody Sunderland, Rangers, are you kidding me?
Stoke and Burnley again. So that's 2-0 to Jim Campbell. Jim, you're first this time. This guy's played for seven clubs. He's still playing again. He's still playing now. Seven clubs in total. Curtis Davis. This is for the win, by the way, Jim.
Yeah.
Chance for me to press this button. I don't think I've ever pressed before.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Going places you've never been.
Yeah.
I think I can do quite well on this. I've got a strategy.
Mind games?
Yeah, I have, actually.
Strategy didn't work for you last time.
Yeah, it was a strategy last time. Well, it was not a strategy. I just confused two Manchester clubs. And if I don't get pelted for that, there's no justice.
Yeah.
The show has to end at some point, Jim.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
Seven clubs in total, mate. I'm going to need to push you for a number now.
I'm going to go for two.
Two. Kate, can you do three?
Yeah, I'm going to go three.
Can you do four?
No.
Okay, three for you, please, Kate. Quick as you can now.
So my strategy...
There are people listening to this show.
Oh,
remember
shit.
That.
Right. So my strategy is to go with... I think it's just very Midlandsy, so I'm just going to go with Midlands clubs that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah. So Derby is where he is.
He plays for Derby at the moment, so that's correct.
Okay. Midlands club... So Villa.
Correct.
Get this one wrong.
If you get this one wrong, Jim's taking your title.
Is that an instruction?
Yeah.
Birmingham.
Correct. 2-1.
See, I wasn't sure about Birmingham. That was. I thought he had played there.
I remember I bet it's loads, isn't it? It's
like West Brom as well. He was at.
Right.
Was he?
So it's that all. That
so interestingly, he's from East London originally, from Leytonstone. He started his career at Luton Town, and then he went to West Brom, Aston Villa, Leicester, Birmingham, Hull, and Derby. So it's a good tactic. It's 2-1. Kate, you're first this time to make it 2-2, perhaps. He's only played for 4 clubs in total, and he holds the record for the most own goals in the Premier League. It's Richard Dunn. And that, I think that's right. He certainly was at some point, but he's played for 4 clubs. He's definitely played for 4 clubs. I think he holds the record for the most own goals scored in the Premier League. Kate, you're first to make it 2-2. Take us to a decider.
4 is difficult, isn't it, Luke, really? Because I have...
None of them are difficult for me.
Yes, so you're looking at the information.
Yeah, I'm looking at the answer.
Like the people at home who think it's easy. I'm just 2.
2. Jim, you go 3 for Richard Dunn?
Nah.
Dickie Dunn?
Nah. I don't know 3.
You don't know 3 football clubs, Jim? No. Come on.
All right, Kate, then.
I've got a few.
2. 2 that Richard Dunn's played
for. That's cool. I reckon I can do that.
Well, you're good. You need to now.
City.
Played City for 10 years.
Everton.
Start this career, Everton.
Ah, well
2-2.
Done, well done.
Everton, Man City, Aston Villa and Queen's Park Rangers.
The disingenuous tone of Jim Campbell celebrating my return from...
I wouldn't have remembered that he played there. In fact, if I ever knew. I would have guessed Sunderland, I think, but I'm pretty sure he didn't play there.
Yeah.
No, he didn't, I've just told you. He played for Aston Villa and QPR.
Listen to your colleague.
2-2.
2-2.
You're first for the final player to take the title. It comes down to this.
I don't like this at all.
He's also only played for 4 clubs. This is not going to be very popular, but this is what the algorithm threw up. Okay. Jim, you get a chance to go first on naming as many as you can of the 4 clubs that Emmanuel Petit has played for. And this will be embarrassing if you can't do this because he's a great, well-known player. Yeah. An amazing career.
I'm going to go 3.
3. Mm. Can you go 4? He's left the window ajar there. Are you going to climb in and rob his stuff?
No.
Jim, for the title.
Shit.
For me to be able to go, and the new...
He's going to win! Oh no, what the hell is wrong with
champion of Luke's game.
No, go for it. Go for it, Jim. No, I don't think you know.
You've made your bid.
Fine.
You've refused to make a bid.
Sorry.
Jim's made his bid. I'm now going to ask him to execute this bid of 3 clubs that Emmanuel Petit's played for the title.
Barcelona.
That's correct. I only spent a season there, though, weirdly.
Oh no.
Chelsea.
Well done, mate.
And for the title, and because North London is red, Kate Mason, Arsenal.
Jim Campbell wins! Flawless victory.
Well, Jim, flawless victory, not quite. Well played, Jim.
I appreciate Pete putting that in there.
Yeah.
Making a lot of assumptions.
He thought it never had to be used, that's why.
Why does he get flawless victory? Jealous.
There you go, Jim. Well played. A new champion.
Congratulations.
Well done, Jim.
I'm really happy for you.
Well done, my man.
You stole my forward to score pick. You stole my crown.
I should just say, of course, his other club, the 4th club that we haven't mentioned, was Monaco. Kate, you were a champion for a long while, though, so good for you. Held the title for what? You're a good champion. You're a great ambassador for the game.
Yeah, I should have never come back on a Friday. I was forced into it, actually.
Never come back. Oh, harsh.
On that note, well, let's see if I do, shall we? We're going to get out of here with friends like these. Yes, all right, let's go. Thank you for spending a lovely time right up until that end bit with me. I am disgruntled. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, lineal champion.
Yeah, see you later. Jim, you should have the last word.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.